Almighty God, may we embrace your word this day with believing hearts. And may we begin to see more clearly our world through the eyes of Christ. In his most precious name we pray. Amen. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival of Passover were some Greeks. They came to Philip and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." These inquisitive Greeks were, in all likelihood, Jewish proselytes on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the observance of Passover. We might compare their pilgrimage to our journey through Lent for the observance of Easter. They make their appearance in John's Gospel right after the Pharisees, in fear and despair, lament out loud to one another, "The whole world has gone after Jesus." Would that that was happening today as well. But John uses this opportunity to say something important to all who would seek to know Jesus as the Messiah, who try to see him as the Son of God, because John knows that the Jesus whom many of us seek is not the Jesus whom we get. So John creates a new frame in which Jesus may be seen properly. He knows that the Jesus whom we wish to see must be carefully defined if our seeing is to be believing in the truth. When I was in college and majoring in political science and international relations, we studied the Cuban Missile Crisis, the manner in which the Soviets built and installed missile silos in Cuba made no sense whatsoever to our American analysts, because we follow a rational decision-making paradigm. The rational way to install missile silos in a foreign country and not be observed would be to camouflage the site first, then dig the missile silos, and then under the cover of darkness, install the missiles. That's not what the Soviets did. They brought the missiles over first in full view, dug the silos, and after we knew exactly where they were, they camouflaged them. It made no sense, and it confused us. What became clear eventually is that the Soviets follow a different decision-making paradigm, a bureaucratic decision-making paradigm that trusted in standard operating procedures. So when that portion of the Soviet government bureaucracy was ordered to put missiles in Cuba, they followed the same standard procedure they used for installing missile silos in the Ural Mountains, where they never had to worry about hiding anything. When we reframed what they did and looked at it from their perspective, it made perfect sense. In this particular passage of Scripture, John is inviting the Greeks in particular and us in general to reframe the event of Jesus of Nazareth. The Messiah, whom the Greeks seek, is not the prophet, teacher, healer, and miracle worker they think he is. Nor is he the world conqueror and king whom the Jews were looking for. He also is not the white Anglo-Saxon Jesus of our American culture. The true Messiah, it turns out, is the crucified one. To see Jesus as the Christ, you must see the sinless one who died on a cross for your sake to fulfill the will and purpose of God. The Greeks thought it was folly to suggest that the Son of God could die. They could not fathom such a concept. Their gods were immortal. The Jews thought it was an outrage to suggest that the Son of God, the Messiah, could die on a cross. To die on a cross was to be cursed by God. They could not conceive of God making his own Son accursed, nor could for the acceptance of the Messiah, could lose his life. Both Greek and Jew found it difficult, if not impossible, to reframe their experience of Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah who died. As a result, they could not see Jesus for who he really was, or see the world as he saw it. So the first thing we need to do to see Jesus as the Christ and to see like Jesus is to embrace him as the Messiah who is glorified by being crucified. God's approval of Jesus' determination to suffer and die for us means that seeing Jesus and seeing like Jesus depends on our willingness to recognize that his glory lies in being lifted up on the cross. He must be lifted up on the cross, said John, before all people can be properly drawn to him. Why is that? It has to do with Jesus' amazing obedience to God. Jesus' whole purpose was not to glorify himself. Though tempted time and time again by his own people to grasp the reins of political power, he resisted. Though living in the shadow of the Jews' expectations of the Messiah, he stood fast in his devotion to God alone. The purpose to which Jesus resolutely stood fast was to glorify God. In allowing himself to suffer and be crucified, he proved his undivided devotion to God's cause. In the resurrection, God glorifies that devotion and faith. To see like Jesus is to see God always as the Alpha and the Omega, as the beginning and the end. It is to see God as a loving parent, so gracious, kind, and self-sacrificing that God deserves my heart, my soul, and my all. And I willingly glorify God in everything I say and do. To see like Jesus is to see God as one who showers blessings upon the just and the unjust, and who loves all as beloved children, who welcomes the prodigal home with open arms, and encourages the elder brother to do the same. To see like Jesus is to see with an open heart and open mind and open arms. It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second thing we need to do to see Jesus as the Christ and to see like Jesus is to accept that only by death comes eternal life. Very truly I tell you, said Jesus, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. We all understand the truth of this metaphor. A seed, as long as it is preserved in safety and security, is ineffective and unfruitful. It fails to fulfill its God-given purpose. But thrown into the ground and buried as if in a tomb, it bears fruit and creates new life. Jesus invites us into a death like his, that we may be raised with him into a life like his. We acknowledge this in baptism, but what does that mean? It means giving up our life of achievement and the pride and self-interest that accompanies it, which seeks to have God at our disposal. The Messiah takes his achievement to the cross and gives it up, so that the life he receives beyond the cross is not his accomplishment, but God's. It is God's gift to him. To see Jesus is to see him glorified as a recipient of grace, not as an achiever. For only as a recipient does he remain at God's disposal. Like the seed that dies, his new life is a gift of God's grace. So to see like Jesus is is to see that our desire to achieve and grasp and own and win at the expense of others is killing us and tearing the fabric of our society apart. Life and eternal life, family and friends, talents and success are gifts of God. The future we desire most cannot be achieved. It can only be received because it is God's future. When we are willing to lose our life, we make ourselves open to receiving God's life. To see like Jesus, then, we need to enter into his unique frame of reference as a recipient. When we see all that we have and all that we earn and all that we are as God's gift to us, we see as Jesus sees. Finally, to see Jesus as the Christ, and to see like Jesus is to acknowledge that only through serving do we become great. The people we remember best are the people who love us. They put our welfare ahead of our own, ahead of their own. They sacrifice their agenda to commit to ours. And they suffer to remain in relationship with us. Power and might are fleeting as the fallen empires, kingdoms, and political systems of this world test. But love endures. It is the very activity of eternity. So it makes perfect sense that the only throne upon which the Messiah could rule forever is the hearts of humankind, where love abides. And that throne is attained through service and sacrificial love. The greatest among us is the one who serves. To see like Jesus is to love unconditionally and uncompromisingly all of God's children. White, black, brown, and red, lovers, haters, and shooters, Republicans, Democrats, and independents, gay, straight, and transgendered, women, men, and children, and to serve them as God served us in Christ. So to see Jesus as the Son of God, as the Savior of our lives and of our world, and to see like Jesus, we need to embrace and believe in how he understands God, life, ministry, and hope. That means embracing fully and completely that the cross is the way to glory, that death is the way to eternal life, that receiving is the way to achieve, and that serving is the way to become great. Let us pray. Almighty God, help us to see Jesus and to see like Jesus, that we may reveal him to others. Help them to see him and help them to see like him.